WEC number 9, having the correct starting point, authority, and foundation. So questions to consider here before we start. Question is, what is neutrality? Are people born neutral? Does neutrality even exist? And what is common ground? And does a believer have common ground with unbelievers? So the concept of neutrality and the concept of common ground. Are people born neutral? Does neutrality even exist? And what is common ground? And do believers have any common ground at all with unbelievers? So starting out, having the correct starting point, the question is, where does God command every person, every human being to start? Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction." So the beginning point that God wants us all to start with, the starting point, is the fear of the Lord. So the question is, what is the fear of the Lord? And the answer is reverent awe and submission. So the starting point for all knowledge is worship to God the Creator. Question then is, what is knowledge? Can only Christians have knowledge about things? The answer is no. Well, what about scientists and unbelievers? Are they able to know anything? Well, they can. So then what's the difference here? The difference is where the person starts. The foundation upon which they build upon. A foolish person does not start with God. Therefore, they do not have the sufficient base for why things exist, why things are the way they are, or justification for their own beliefs. The question is, what is a fool? And a fool is someone who does not start out with God as their starting point. This is what the Proverbs is talking about. Fool here speaking about their behavior or their mindset or their presupposition. It's not a slam on the individual. It is saying that if you start with anything but God in worship and submission to the Creator, and if you're choosing anything else to build your starting point and your foundation, that's foolishness. So what does a fool do? A fool despises the wisdom and instruction of God. They willfully suppress the truth of God and unrighteousness, and they worship anything else in the creation but the Creator. This is what Proverbs 1:7 is talking about. Next is Proverbs 9:10. The starting place is, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." So again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. It's the starting point. It's that reverent awe and submission towards God. It's worshiping Him. So the question is, what is wisdom? And wisdom is the foundation where we apply the instruction of God to every aspect of life. It is interpreting life, and it is understanding how we are to conduct ourselves and how we are to think from the lens of Scripture through God's very own thoughts to us. Next question is, what is knowledge of the Holy One, according to Proverbs 9:10? And that is having the correct understanding of who God is through His Word. So not only do we have the foundation as the Lord through reverent awe and submission of worship, but now we're using God's Word as our basis for knowledge and understanding and interpreting the world around us and how we conduct ourselves through our ethics and through our morals. Also says in Proverbs 9:10, the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. What is insight? Insight is the ability to interpret the world around us from God's perspective, revealed to us in His Word through our regenerated consciousness. So we have a regenerated heart. We have been born again. The Holy Spirit indwells us. All of these things are necessary in order for us to have proper knowledge and proper wisdom. The starting point being God Himself through His Word with a regenerated consciousness. So without a reverence, without the reverence of God, and without worship, without submission to Him, So without this, a believer has for Christ, we would all be just as foolish as the people who are in the world system. This is what distinguishes us from the world. We do not have superior mental capabilities. Christians don't become geniuses overnight because they've been born again. We do not have profound abilities and insights. What we have has been given to us by God Himself. With that regenerated consciousness, with the Holy Spirit indwelling us, we have the ability, we have the insight into the knowledge of God that He speaks through the Word of God, through the fear of God, which we attain our knowledge and our wisdom. We build our foundation on Jesus Christ Himself through His Word. And what the Scripture says, if anybody starts in any different place but this, they have a foolish foundation. So this is where we see the necessity of grace. The Christian has by no means any leg to stand on in boasting or bragging or having this idea of being morally superior or morally sound, more intellectually stable. None of these things, because the only thing that the believer has is the grace of God, which gives us His Holy Spirit and His Word. Everybody started out and in the world system. God has called the believer out of the world system, and we see this in Acts 26:18. Speaking to Paul, Jesus is saying His mission is to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in Me. So Acts 26:18 talks about this transition that the sinner and the unbeliever goes through when they embrace the gospel. God opens their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light, turn from the foolish foundation, the foolish knowledge, the foolish wisdom that they have been living in their whole lives, which is being held by the power of Satan himself. This is a supernatural activity, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in Me. So understanding that this is what every Christian has gone through, and that this is the only difference between a believer and a non-believer, a Christian must continue to be bold in confronting the surrounding culture that is lost. It shouldn't be to any surprise or to any shock to us that when we preach, it gets rejected, because this is a heart issue. This is a spiritual issue. Their eyes are shut. Darkness is filling their hearts. The power of Satan is binding that individual. And a Christian must also be humble in their approach to the surrounding culture, realizing and understanding that they are the way they are only because of the grace of God. So the starting point for all things in life is reverence, not neutrality. Now the question before that we asked is, does neutrality even exist? No. Are people born neutral towards God? No. We are all born with unregenerate hearts. As Romans 8:7 says, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's laws. Indeed, it cannot. So there is no such thing as neutrality between the believer and the unbeliever. As we see in Acts 26:18, our eyes have to be opened. We have to turn from darkness to light. We have to be set free from the power of Satan before any of this can happen. And Jesus also says in Matthew 12:30, whoever is not with Me is against Me, and whoever does not gather with Me scatters. So there is no such thing as neutrality. Either you are with Christ or you're not. Either you are gathering or you are scattering. There is no neutral position. So then the question is what is the difference between neutrality and common ground? So neutrality is being neither for or against Christ. This is impossible. It doesn't exist. Because of the unregenerate heart of the unbeliever, they misdiagnose the world and its problems. They don't look at the world from a neutral lens. They misdiagnose it because of the sinfulness in our heart. They have an incorrect understanding and interpretation of the world around them. An unbeliever is deceived in thinking they can trust their own reason and they can trust their own experience. They're deceived in thinking they can interpret the world around them correctly, that their conclusions are the final verdict, that they are the sufficient reference point for knowledge and wisdom. This is the deception every human being has. The epistemology of the unbeliever is autonomy. Autonomy being broken up into two Greek words, auto, which means self, nomos, which means law. So autonomy naturally is self-law. Human beings are deceived into thinking that this is a sufficient base to build upon. In Proverbs 1:7 and Proverbs 9:10 clearly teaches that this is false thinking. So neutrality does not exist. But now what is common ground? Common ground are things the believer and the unbeliever have in common. So common ground does exist between Christians and non-Christians. For example, both Christians and non-Christians want safe schools. Both want to be treated with respect. Both support charitable organizations. Both take personal responsibility for their actions. Both treat other people's property with respect. Both treat others like they want to be treated. This is common ground. This is what most people in the world want. They seek these things out. We have common agreement in these areas. But now utilizing common ground can be effective for points of evangelism. Because we all want these things. We all want what's best for our kids. We all want them to have solid education. We all want to love each other, follow the rules. We want just laws. We want to end racism. We want to make sense out of life. We want to find meaning and purpose. So we both have these things. But only the Christian can attain this. Because it is the fear of the Lord that unites us in both knowledge and wisdom of God. It is the fear of the Lord where we build our proper foundation. It is through His Word that we interpret and understand this world through the regenerated consciousness, because we submit to the Lord out of reverence and awe. We start from the point of worship. We conduct ourselves the way He has prescribed, and this is the only way for humanity to achieve the common ground that it desires. So this is where evangelism can really take off for the believer. To find these common grounds, which we both want, and to show them that it is only through the gospel, it is only through the foundation of Christ where these things can be attained. Human autonomy divides. The gospel unites. This is the difference. Yes, the gospel divides between believer and unbeliever and right and wrong, but it is only through unity in Christ where things can be built upon. There is no unity in autonomy. Autonomy divides. It breaks humanity up into individual segments, us versus them. There's no building there. We want what we want in opposition to what God has prescribed. That's the autonomous person. We want what we want. We don't care what God wants for us. And common ground can never be achieved this way because we are all individual, isolated people with our own opinions. And we look for other people who have the same opinions. And we can build a small consensus here, but then we're fighting against this small consensus over there and another small consensus over there. It divides everything up. We have to be united in Christ, the foundation of the gospel itself. It's the only thing that can achieve the common ground that we are looking for. So understanding this, we have the three-step approach of the transcendental argument. The first step: identify the preconditions behind the worldview or the belief that are necessary in order to make it reasonable and logical. So, for example, using common ground. We all want what's best for our children. We all want safe schools. We all want a solid education for our kids. So we must ask ourselves, what is necessary in order for us to bring this about? And it's all about having a school that is based upon biblical principles. It's understanding who we are through a biblical lens, teaching our kids right and wrong as far as ethics and morality, not just autonomous ethics of what an individual might think or what a group of people might think, but specifically the ethics that God has prescribed to us, which are a part of His own character, His own nature. We are created in God's image. We must follow God's ethical guidelines or it won't work. Education must be filtered through a Christian lens. For instance, when we're looking at science, we can make experiments and we can see how this world works, but when we're answering the question why something exists or why something works the way it does, we don't answer it through the evolutionary lens of random chance. We answer it through the Christian lens of this is how God has created it. So in order to have a solid education, we must have a biblical framework for our children and teach them in the ways of the Lord. How about people to love one another? This is common ground. How can autonomy bring love when we are only focused on our own self-interests? How can autonomy change the human heart from selfishness to reverence and awe in Christ? See, our relationship with God has to be restored first. Otherwise, our relationship with other people will never change. There will be temporal changes. There will be small changes, or you can call them adjustments. But a person is not going to change unless their heart is changed, and this is only what can come through the regenerate power of the Holy Spirit. So to treat each other with respect, we can do that on a surface level. But again, if our relationship with Christ is not restored, our relationship with other people suffers as well. We all want people to follow the rules, but why don't people follow the rules? Because they want to get ahead. They want to cheat. Well, how do we get around this? Again, the heart has to be transformed. And if we are content with what God has given us, and if we are following the ethical and moral guidelines that the Lord has prescribed to us, nobody's going to cheat. We're going to follow the practices that God has called us to do. We're going to be content with what God has given us. Same thing with just laws. Nobody wants unjust laws. Nobody wants laws that favor a certain group or another group. But again, if autonomy is our base, this is naturally going to come about because the golden rule in life is he who has the gold rules. So they're going to be able to balance the judicial system, balance the political system into their favor. We're never going to have justice. We're never going to have an end to racism. Because it's always going to be one group fighting against another group for superiority rather than both groups submitting to the reverence and awe of Christ and seeing all of humanity as a creation of God's very hand. And the ethnical distinctions are part of God's design. Therefore, everybody's equal. There isn't going to be an us versus them mentality. And in making sense of life, how do we interpret this world around us? Again, if it's autonomy, everybody has their own personal opinion or general consensus, or the elite will take over and force their opinion on somebody else. We never have a foundation. And this is what Proverbs 1:7 and 9:10 are telling us. Unless God himself is our foundation, unless the heart of the individual has been regenerated to receive insight from him, and unless we are seeing this world through the lens of Scripture, his prescribed will to us, we're never going to be able to make sense out of life. We're never going to be able to find meaning and purpose. We're never going to be able to treat others as we want to be treated, because we all have our own individual ways of looking at things which only can divide. So the gospel is the only answer when we are talking about common ground with the unbeliever. Yes, we both want the same things, but the belief, the structure, and the methodology behind it are different. And it's at these points where we can evangelize and bring the gospel out, having all people bow the knee to Christ in submission and reverence and awe to his holy word. So that's the first step in the transcendental approach. The second one, conduct an internal critique. Show how their position is unable to provide the presuppositions for what they're looking for. If you are starting with yourself, how are you ever going to love somebody else? Loving somebody else consists of putting their interest above your own. How are you going to be able to do that genuinely? And how are you going to be able to do that consistently? How are you going to be able to follow the rules when it's so tempting to cheat and get ahead, which is what many people are doing today? Just look at the political scheme. People taking responsibility for their own actions. How many times do we hear somebody come up with an excuse or blame somebody else for the actions that they do? Unjust laws, racism, all of these things exist. And if we have not submitted to Christ out of worship. If the Lord is not the beginning of knowledge, if the fear of the Lord is not the beginning of wisdom, we will never reach these because autonomy cannot provide this. So that's the second step, conduct an eternal critique. And number three, demonstrate the necessity of God. Explain how to them how only Christianity is able to provide the necessary presuppositions for those things that they are looking for. It's not that we're trying to make God the means to an end, that if you just accept Christ, then your life is going to get better. That's not what we're saying. But what we're saying is the fear of the Lord is the only basis for knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the only basis for wisdom. That we are created in God's image, that we understand that we want good and that we don't want bad. But if we are not taking God's definition as to what is good and to what is bad, and if we are not living the way he has prescribed us to live, everything's going to be out of order. And that's what sin does. It brings order. It brings disunity. It brings in hatred. It brings in division. It brings in murder. It brings in stealing. It brings in cheating. None of these things can unite. The only way we can be united amongst each other as human beings is if our hearts are first united with Christ. Once our hearts are regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit, we now have the insight, we now have the ability, we now have the Word of God to base our entire life off of the fear of the Lord in both knowledge and wisdom. So there is no such thing as neutrality, but we do have common ground. And in those areas of common ground are the areas where we can advance the gospel through evangelism.